Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gregory Copley to help me with a conflict through the Horn of Africa, East Africa, sometimes called the Red Med, the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, involving an ally of the United States and Israel, Egypt. But this story is more complicated because it stretches back to conflicts in the late 20th century. It involves the Blue Nile. You recall the saying for Western times in America, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Well, that's what's going on in the Horn of Africa over the Blue Nile, as presented by Egypt. News item from Bloomberg. Egypt's president outlined plans to boost security and military ties with the Red Sea state of Djibouti as Cairo strengthens relations in Eastern Africa while mired in a dispute over Ethiopia's use of the Nile River. Thursday's talks between President al-Sisi of Egypt and his counterpart in Djibouti, Ismail Omar Gullah, came amid, quote, exceptional circumstances, according to Mr. Sisi, that represent a, quote, important challenge in the Horn of Africa. I mention also the visit, this is Bloomberg reporting, billed as the first by an Egyptian president to Djibouti since independence in 1977, took place a day after Kenya's army said it had signed a technical agreement on defense cooperation with the Egyptian military. Egypt has also agreed broadly similar pacts with Sudan, Burundi, and Uganda, stretching into Central Africa. This is very large states covering a vast amount of territory, but at the center of this is the puzzle over the Blue Nile. Gregory, you are editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, and you've guided me through these countries I've never visited. It's very difficult to imagine the scale of this conflict, but I can imagine the Blue Nile. What is the dispute about the Blue Nile between Egypt and Ethiopia? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the dispute over the control of the Nile waters, particularly the Blue Nile, which starts in the Ethiopian Amhara Highlands at Lake Tana, has been going on for centuries, and has been the subject of continual wars, particularly during the 19th century, between Ethiopians, particularly about the Egyptians when they were under the control of the Ottomans, trying to basically either break up Ethiopia or to gain control of the headwaters of the Blue Nile. They've consistently failed in that. Egypt tends to believe, and the British, particularly when they were the colonial power in Egypt, reinforced this, that Egypt and Sudan had an inherent right to whatever of the Nile waters they could get their hands on. And, of course, they do have a lot of the flow of the White Nile and the Blue Nile waters. However, Egypt does have a water problem, but it's largely due to internal mismanagement of the Nile water flows that they get. And this started again to reemerge when in the late 50s and early 60s, the Soviets started building the Aswan High Dam, which built a huge lake going back from Aswan up into Sudan, actually called Lake Nasser. So that's really the great reservoir of water which the Egyptians have and which they have not been managing very well, partly because of the construction of the dam, which constrains the annual flooding of the Nile. That's true. But it also stops the spread of the rich, fertile soils from the Amhara Highlands of Ethiopia down into the Niger, Nile Delta. This was what gave the Nile Delta its great agricultural output for cotton and grains and so on. So since the the cessation, the stopping of the flooding, annual flooding of the Nile Delta, they also stopped the importation, if you like, of this rich sediment, which was great for agriculture. So Egypt has this problem. It's got a growing population. It's close to 100 million now. Population of Ethiopia is about 115 million. So the Egyptians don't want to get into their management of the Nile waters because that's largely a very big problem area. They can't really resolve this problem with the Aswan Dam. So they look to blame others, particularly Ethiopia, for not giving them enough water, as though Ethiopia does not have its own rights under international law to the waters which spring from Lake Tana and which can be used for hydroelectrical and agricultural and drinking purposes and the like.
Now we go to what you report is an historical rejoining of two states, Ethiopia and Eritrea. President Sisi's visit to Djibouti is about this reuniting. How so?
Yes, I mean, President Sisi is trying to build an alliance of states against Ethiopia, and these military deals which he's done with Uganda, Kenya, South Sudan, and Sudan itself, and the like, and now Djibouti, are designed to isolate Ethiopia and to build a coalition seemingly in favor of Egypt. That is actually not happening. The Kenyans, in fact, made it quite clear that whilst they welcomed military cooperation with Egypt, this did not make them an ally necessarily of Egypt in all matters. And because Kenya and Uganda particularly, and even South Sudan, are not really going to work against Ethiopia, neither truly is Djibouti. What everyone forgets is that Djibouti was once part of Ethiopia, like the new territories of Hong Kong, for example, which were leased to the British by the Chinese imperial government for 100 years or 99 years. The same thing happened with the lease of Djibouti to the French by parts of the Ethiopian Empire, a century and a half ago or more. And subsequently, the French gave independence to Djibouti, which in fact they had no right to do, but I guess they didn't want to give it back to what was clearly becoming a post-imperial Ethiopia. So Djibouti got independence. But President Gullah, who was just re-elected in Djibouti, has said frequently that he regards Djibouti as part of Ethiopia. So doing a deal, if you like, for military cooperation with Egypt is a tactical measure, a practical one, because Djibouti is a great seaport which is designed to provide trade and stability in the Red Sea. So, yes, he's going to do a deal with Egypt, but he still maintains his Ethiopian-ness. And the connection of the essentially Somali tribes, Afar and Issa tribes of Djibouti, the loyalty there has always been to the Ethiopian crown. And the sultan of the Afar people, who's the premier Muslim leader within Ethiopia, has consistently and even most recently sworn allegiance to the crown of Ethiopia, the imperial crown of Ethiopia, not to the Ethiopian Republic, which is quite interesting. But the reality is that we now see Ethiopia and its former territory of Eritrea starting to come back together towards a reunion into a federation or a confederation of the states. This is like 28 years after Eritrea became independent on May the 24th, 1993. So we're looking at that would put Ethiopia into a much bigger status. It would add another 5 to 8 million people to the population. So, okay, over 120 million people. It would be once again a Red Sea power with ports on the Red Sea. The Ethiopian Navy is now in the presence of reconstruction, and that would presumably be joined with the Eritrean Navy. The Eritrean Armed Forces would once again become part of the Ethiopian Defense Forces. And it's possible that Djibouti would also at some stage rejoin into that, because otherwise Djibouti would then start to lose its traffic, its trade traffic from and via Ethiopia, which goes down to the port of Djibouti for export to the world. That trade would, under this reunion between Ethiopia and Eritrea, would go back through the ports at like Assab in Eritrea. So Eritrea would once again become a major trading power. It would become prosperous again. And by the way, this would have very profound and positive ramifications for the illegal migration of Eritreans to Europe. A lot of the illegal migration to Europe has, in fact, not been from the Syrians so much as from people from Eritrea moving away from the poverty of Eritrea. But if Eritrea's poverty is overturned by this new deal, not only will the greater Ethiopia become more powerful, prosperous, and influential on the Red Sea, it will also help to stop the outflow of Eritrean people fleeing into Europe as economic refugees.
What you describe, Gregory, is stability and progress, except I note when we come back, the U.S., Obama administration, now the Biden administration, side with Egypt in its conflict with Ethiopia. Maybe over the Blue Nile, maybe over Ethiopia's uniting with Eritrea during the civil war with Tigray, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front. So when we come back, what is the Biden administration's thinking about this region, this vast region of the Horn of Africa? Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.